The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you. After that introduction, and y'all hollering, I can hardly wait to hear myself preach. After all the good things he said about me, my heart has been blessed right now. We have a benediction for it, I'm concerned. I've already been preached to by all these young people I've seen. I'm preparing a message on why don't you be a trophy for God, and I see the trophies tonight. The young men in the choir, I watched the expression on their faces. And some a lot of training going in. My heart is challenged. I believe you're ready to charge hell with squirt guns here. You know, the gist, I've got a message I'm working on. Been a trophy. And God came to... they have a meeting, Job 1. Say, have you considered my great servant Job? And there's none like him. In other words, God said, I want you to see what a trophy, what I've used a man for. And then I've been thinking about all the devil, all the trophies he's got. He's put on television, all these teenage, I had the words for him, but I'll not call them that. Lord took that away from my vocabulary. Showing her naked on the television and that, and showing all these rock stars and talking about all the sin they commit. What I like to do, I like to take you teenagers, you young men and girls, and I see the dress right, dress like a Christian. And God's proud of you, and your daddy's proud of you, and I'm proud of you, and mama's proud of you. I like to show you off on television and say, look at this trophy. Dress right, knees covered. And so my heart's challenged. I tell you, I'm more encouraged. I've seen more Christianity tonight. I've been to college. I've been doing this for years, and you've restored my confidence in the youth. And so I'll talk about you people a lot of time. What I saw here tonight as I travel throughout the country. And so reminds me of one of my daughters. I raised my daughters, they dressed just like you did. I was in, where was it? St. Thomas. My wife and I and three teenage girls walking through department stores, and Christian women walk up to us, two or three there. We want you to know we see thousands of people a day comes through here half-dressed with this most decent-looking Christian girls we've ever seen. Now, I raised my daughters like that. And so I'm proud of it. One of them I remember. One night, I came in from work, and my daughter said, Dad said, I've got a new pair of shoes. I'd like you to give me $20 to get a purse. I said, I'm not giving you $20. I was dogmatic about it. I said, you can work it out. And she said, now, Dad, come on in. You got plenty of money. Now, give me $20. I said, I'm not going to do it. We went to church on Wednesday night and came back. And I was in the kitchen there, and I could see in the family room there my daughter was studying. It was about 10:30 at night. She made straight A's through high school and college, master's degrees. She got her smarts after her mother's, because I still have mine. And so I looked at her, and the Lord said, you know, she's a good daughter. She works hard. She's obedient. And when she's 13 to 15, 17, they had to go to my apartments and work all day long, 8 hours. My wife packed them a lunch. And I paid them. I've got money invested right now that they made back then. They know nothing about, and I won't tell them or their husbands. They're going to get it when I die. And so, but the Lord said, you know, she's a good daughter. You ought to give her 20. You ought to buy her that. And I walked in there, and I said, I opened my pocketbook up, and I said, Kelly, I've been thinking about that $20 you need. And I pulled out a $20 bill. I said, here's your $20 for that purse you want. Oh, she said, thank you, Dad, thank you. God will richly bless you for this. The next evening, about 5 o'clock, I was in the office working. I happened to think about what she said, and I called the house and said, Kelly, yeah, you told me God's going to bless you today because I gave you that $20 last night, and I've been here all day, and he hasn't done it. Dad, God hasn't done it yet. There must be sin in your life. And so, talking about the breakfast this morning, I thought about it a while ago. I heard about a preacher who was giving a testimony one night. He said, you know, I had married the best cook in the world. She'd make the best biscuits, golden brown. They were delicious. This melt in your mouth. He said, you take one bite and it'd become a half eclipse. Moon would be half, like half eclipse. You take another bite and become totally eclipse. Be a half a moon to a totally eclipse. Just all go down. But suddenly she took sick and died. God rest her soul. God came and got her, and she's in heaven. A few months passed by, and I met another lady, and we began to date, and I got married, and she had the same recipe. She can make the best biscuits, golden brown. You take one bite, and it become a half a moon. You take the next bite, it'd be all gone, totally eclipse. Much time would have it, she died. God rest her soul. God came and got her. She's in heaven. Then I married another girl from up north. And dear God, she can't cook a lick, and you can come get her anytime you want her. By the way, girls, I was 27 years old, and I saw a blonde going to work one morning, 21 years old. And so we began to date. And so she fixed me some Kentucky Fried Chicken. Now, Kentucky Fried Chicken fried all the way to the bone. It's done all the way. It's slow. And we had a meal, she did that. And I had my own home. I bought my own home. I was batching. I cleaned my own house, done my own washing, and taking care of my clothes. Done my own cooking. But when I sunk my teeth in that Kentucky Fried Chicken, I said, honey, name the date. We was married in 90 days. Now, the way the man's heart's through his stomach. So you girls got to learn how to fry chicken. I've seen you sing. You can sing, honey, sing. And that. I want you to open your Bibles now. We get down introduction. Psalm 18. Then I want you to turn it over to Exodus. I think it's 30. Let me get my notes here together. And let me get Exodus. I believe it is. Genesis. Exodus. I'm going to try 30. I'm going from memory. Yes, Exodus chapter 30. Now, the purity I saw in the young people here tonight and you people, it impresses me very much. And God talks to us a lot about holiness, living a holy life, let them be severed. Wherefore come from ye about among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, not clean ye. Love not the world, neither the things that are of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, I've seen love tonight. And I know how that we can get things from God by living a holy life, In Exodus chapter 30, I've got a diagram here of the tabernacle in the wilderness, and it shows the Holy of Holies, table of showbread, and a golden ground, and the tabernacle, and so the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. But outside in the outer court was the laver of brass, the outer court, where God dealt with the sins. And then before you entered on the outer court was this brazen altar. I got a picture of the brazen altar here. I copied it out of the Bible. And here's why we had that brazen altar. In Exodus chapter 30, verse 17, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also brass, to wash with them. In other words, I want you to put before they enter into the tabernacle, into the worship me, I want you to put them in a place where they can wash their feet and their hands. Thou shalt put in a, I'll start reading verse 18 again. Thou shalt also make a laver of brass and his foot also of brass to wash with them, and thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. Now why? Verse 19, for Aaron and his sons wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they wash with water that they die not. It's a dangerous thing to worship God with sin in our life, known sin. It's dangerous to worship God and come and not confess our sins. He said, I want you to be clean. I'll kill you. He told him, said, and now look here. It said that they die not. I'll read 20 again. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water that they die not, or when they come near the altar of the minister to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord. So they shall wash their hands and their feet. They die not. And it shall be a statute forever to them, even to them and his seed throughout their generations. So God looks upon the heart. The pastor mentioned that tonight. If God looked upon your heart tonight, are you hiding anything from God? I mean, to be used of God, we need to be cleansed. When's the last time that you went to God and asked him to examine? I often say this. I've got a light in my office brighter than this. It shines down in my face, and I pull it down. My eyes are shut, but I can see that light. I imagine that's God. When I meet him many times in the morning, early, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way and lead me in the way of uprightness. And now I stop. Holy Spirit, am I doing anything? I haven't confessed it. Reveal it to me and I'll confess it. That's how you give yourself self-examinations of sin. Because to get things from God, there's some reason why that I got 7 successful businesses and I don't know, the millions of dollars and the big deals I pulled off. I can tell you a story by cleanliness of God. I would think I will. It's not even in my notes. It's in another sermon. I was bidding on a contract in Ypsilanti, Michigan. I had 50, 60, 70 men nailing on the tape and drywall. I landed one big job on Ford Lake. Henry Ford built the lake. I was thanking God for that. And then just 2 miles from it on Harris Road, and that's only about 30 minutes from where I'll sleep tomorrow night if the plane don't go down. They've built another project, 135 apartments. And I said, Lord, I'd like to have this project too. You give me this one, it's coming wintertime. And you have to wear and have them work for your employees during the winter. I'd like to have this job. I began to pray for it. And so I was awarded the other one. It'd be $1 million job today. As much drywall went in that big complex there. On Friday evening, a painting contractor said, he called me, he painted after me, and he said, Russ, I heard him talking today. You lost that contract there on that. Said you're $5,000 too high. It's late Friday evening. Monday morning, I was getting my business going. I had 7, I had trucks running, big loading big trucks, putting material 4-story high, and orders coming in, and one phone call after the other, and a lot of pressure. And the superintendent of that job called me that I had lost Friday. He said, Mr. Anderson, he said, I'm sorry to tell you, you did not get the contract. He said, I'd like to have had you. You got a good reputation. And so I said, well, Sid, thank you for letting me bid it. I said, maybe I'll get the next one. I was in a hurry to get off the phone because I had a decision to make. About 9 o'clock, the pressure gets off of me, and I get all the men going to foreman's and tell them where to go and what the details. I started driving to the post office that day. Now, I'm illustrating now a clean heart. Been clean before God that you can get things out of God. I'm going to tell you a story and make you believe in God. And so I drive in the post office. I began to praise God. I said, I think I'll go down and get my mail about a mile away in a big box. And a box full of mail. I went down there and I got to thinking about that job that I lost. I got praising God for the one I didn't get. I said, dear God, it just does not make sense. That man that got that Wardnet contract to it, that Eilar Bar, I used to sit down there and drink with him years ago before I ever heard the gospel. And he's going to take that job, and he's going to sit down there in that bar and buy beer, Budweiser's, and he's going to brag about taking it away from me. I said, now, God, you're a businessman, and he's going to take that contract. He's going to make fun of me. Now, God, if I get it, you're going to get 50% of the profit. Now, who would you rather see have that contract? They've already given it to him. Now, God, all right now, I've read the Bible. I was clean as far as I know. I've spent a lot of time with God. I said, I've read the Bible, and in the Bible it says you control the heart of the king. And if you control the heart of the king, you control that Jewish builder in Detroit, 60 miles away. I'm going to ask you to reverse that contract and give it to me. You know what you'll get out of it if I get it. And he'll sit down and make fun by taking that away from me. He'll drink. Took it away from Boy Anderson. I went to the post office, got my mail, and come back. And, of course, the phone rang, decision to make. About 2 o'clock that evening, one of my superintendents came in. Let's go over to Ford Lake and check out our big job. And we're about ready to start it, and we'd see what size boards and how to cut out all the waste we could. Length of drywall was 8 feet and 10, 12, 14, and 16s. When we got through our work there, we came back by and had to come right by and see the project there I had lost. And I went in, I said, let's stop and see Sid. I'll thank him letting me bid on this job. I went and saw him. When I walked in, he looked at me, said, Anderson, I don't know what to think about you. Friday evening, my boss said, you lost a job. This morning, said, called Anderson telling me he didn't get it. But about noon today, my phone rang. My boss said, I changed my mind. Give that job to Anderson. Here, sign this contract and get out of here. Now, you say whatever you want to. That comes from clean living and a clean heart. You get things out of God, you're going to have to live a godly life. Let me tell you young men something. The sky's the limit. You young ladies, why don't you let God make a trophy out of you? Why don't you be able to give testimonies like this? Made $8.6 million one day and didn't have a nickel invested. Now, you get your books, all these professors around here and all these smart people, and I don't even know the computers. I don't know anything about technology. We still send smoke signals down in Kentucky. So, why? No education. You don't be a trophy of God. It's good to have education. But I told my girls, if I have to decide where you're going to be a good student or a good Christian, you're going to be a good Christian. Don't you ever tell me you're not going to church on Wednesday night. Now, I'm begging you young people not. You've got a good start, but a good start don't give you a good finish. See how David ended up. See how Jehoshaphat ended up. See how Solomon ended up. Because you've got a good start and the enthusiasm's high, you've challenged my heart tonight. It makes me wish I was young again. So I've seen some of you pretty girls. It makes me wish I was 50 years younger. I had hair, blonde, wavy hair then. And so, but be a trophy for God. What do you want out of God? Set your goal high. You know you and God make a majority. David proved that. 16 years old, maybe, when he went down to kill Goliath, maybe 17, as commentary says. What do you want out of God? I just believe that God's going to do greater things through my life than he's ever done. I'm 82 years old. I'm begging him to go 90. I'm arguing with God all the time. What Caleb done that I'm not done? What did Caleb do for you? Joshua and Caleb. When he's 85, he said, I want that mountain. I said, God, what's he done for you? I'm not done. I'm begging God. I want to live for one thing. I was praying. I wrote this down one morning. God, please let me live another 7 years back then. I said, let me live another 7 years that I may serve you. And I stopped. I said, God, did you hear that? I didn't say let me live so I can enjoy the money that you let me make. I want to serve you. There's more joy in serving God than all the millions that you make. And so I turned my back on it. I told you this morning on a job making $2.5 million in 1999. God, I went to working for a song and singing it myself. I'm having the time of my life. So what do you want out of God? But you need to have a clean heart. Get along with God. Worship him, realizing what he did for you. What's available. You and God, you can do anything you get God's pretty approval upon. but you have to study and get qualified for it. You see, that's why you're here. I'll tell you, I'm encouraged by what I see here. I've heard about the church and what it was done, and your pastor here before I came. And so I can now testify to what I've seen myself. I know of no greater church I'm speaking in. The possibilities here are so high with all you young men and the young ladies dressed right. Now we're going to go to Psalm chapter 18. Psalm 18. If you turn to 1 Samuel 22, you find the same psalm. And David wrote this psalm after the Lord had delivered him from all the hands of enemies and from the hands of Saul. And he wrote, hear what David wrote. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. See, that's clean heart. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me about, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares that death presented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto God. He heard my voice out of the temple, and the cry came before him unto his ears. I'm going to go there on over to 16. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong. When I read things about this, about David, I like to think, well, why did God do this for him? What can I do? What can I do that God would do something like this for me? One of the businesses I opened up one time, I got so big into the subcontracting, I opened up a building supply business, bought big trucks, put materials four stories high. I went in debt and had these big trucks run. And there's a Jewish outfit, had branches all over Michigan. I'm about 60 miles from Detroit, near Ann Arbor, Michigan. And I started building a supply business, and they had one of their supply businesses in my town, and I was trading with them. And, you know, they didn't like it because I opened up a supply business. They're greedy. And you know what they did to me? They called my competitors and said, we'll give you a big discount. We're going to run Anderson back to the coal mines. We're going to put him back to Kentucky. Going in competition against us. I went to God. I realized if I get God on my side, see, this is another testing. Young man, God's going to test you and young ladies before he uses you. He's going to see what you're made of. He did what did David here as a young boy. He's going to test you. I went to God and began to pray. They had $1,000 bills where I didn't have pennies. I began to pray for him. God, they threatened me. And you know, God would rather bless a Christian, let him make money than a Jew that won't tithe. And I kept praying. And the guy that was after me made all those threats. He was in a car wreck one night and got killed. And the business got to lose money. And within 2 years, they moved back to Detroit and my trucks are still running. Praise God. We serve a great God. So I have to ask why. Why did God do that? He delivered me from my strong enemy, verse 17, and from them that hated me, for they were too strong. They prevented me in my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large way. He delivered me because he delighted in me. He liked me. I don't know about you, but I want God to like me. I want to please God, do you? I want to please God. When I was 14 years old, my dad put me up in Old Mule and had 100 acres of farmland and corn. All day long, I was out in that hot sun from early in the morning to late at night by myself. And the corn got so high, it was on top of my head. And you see the top of the mule. Harvest time come. We sharecropping, and we gathered all the corn and put it in two piles. And the owner of the land got picked out of the pile. He thought the biggest. We hauled all that corn in. And so our barns was full of corn. And I walked up one night, and my daddy was talking in it one evening there with some men. He had his back to him. He didn't know behind him. He said, "Did you all see what my boy did? 14 years old. The barns is full. We got corn. We don't know what to do about it." He said, "He's a hard-working boy I've saw in my life. He's paying me a lot of compliments." To me then, a big treat was any time I could get a quarter, I'd get a pint of vanilla ice cream and a big banana. I'd have a quarter. And I walked up and heard my dad bragging on me, and he turned around and said, "Oh, son, I didn't know you was there." He opened up his pocketbook, and he gave me a quarter, said, "Go get you a pint of banana, a pint of ice cream, and a big banana." I looked at that quarter, and I handed it back to him. I said, "Daddy, I won't eat tonight." I walked away weeping, just to know I pleased my daddy as a 14-year-old boy. I want to do the same thing to Jesus as an 82-year-old man. I want to please him. Do you want to please him? You want something out of God? I've seen God, break up multi-million-dollar business and send them back to Detroit. You get God on your side, but it takes clean hands now. It takes a clean heart. What do you want from God? Name it. Won't you sit down and write God a letter? And then, boy, I've got Pentecostal feet, ultimate. I wish God called me to preach someday. I'll tell you that. I'm a layman. I get happy in my feet. And so I even forgot where I was at. I'm 82. Give me a little slack, will you? And so, but I've seen God turn miracles. I want to be clean. But just to know I'd please my daddy was payment enough for me. And God will speak to me tonight. I'll get on that plane tomorrow. And just to know that I please God tonight is worth all that I might sacrifice. I want Jesus more than anything this world has to offer. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I get up in the morning. I can't sing. Just a closer walk with thee. I've got signs in my office. Holy Spirit, thou welcome in this. I've got signs in my Jaguar. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this car. And Jesus, I want to walk closer to you, just a closer walk with you. I want Jesus in my life more than anything that's working over. That comes from a clean heart. Clean heart. David said, "The Lord reward me according to my righteousness." Oh, a clean heart. "According to the cleanness of my hands." Oh, he recompensed me. So here we get it. I'm going to have to walk a little bit. His own test. I'm going to walk. A clean hands and a clean heart, and then God will do his part. That's why God did it for David. A clean hands and a clean. Young men like to ask you, how's your heart? Are you saying anything to the girls you shouldn't say? Huh? I tell you what you would do, boys. You ever get a chance to be alone to talk with a girl? You treat her like you want somebody to treat your sister. Okay? That'll solve it. And young ladies, keep dressing like you're dressed down to here. Keep wearing your dresses where that you'd honor God. Don't be like some girls. I've had my girls, they had to wear their dresses down here, and they told me some of the girls get by and they'd roll that skirt up here to pull it up, being styled above their knees. Clean hands and a clean heart. That's what David had. Look at it. "For I have kept the ways," verse 20, "of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from thy God. For all the judgments were before me, and I did put away the statutes from me. I was so upright before him, I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore have the Lord recompensed me according to my" what? According to his clean hands and his clean heart. Like, according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands and his eyesight. The way you boys are dressed tonight, you're dressed like young men. You should be dressed. I'd be proud of you. You could date any of my girls. As long as you had a companion in the car, no one of my girls had to go out and say, "You don't trust them, I don't trust the devil." Verse 25, "But be merciful with me, and thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man wilt show thyself upright. With pure thou wilt show thyself pure. And fervent thou wilt show thyself fervent."
So here's what David said with the queen's hands and queen. That's why God rewarded him. That's why God delivered him. He could trust in him. That's why God, man after God's own heart, David. Boy, I'd like to try to be that. I'd like that to be said of me. Our Father, we pray your blessings now, Holy Spirit of God, upon the next few minutes. Holy Spirit of God, I please that as I speak to the ears, you speak to the heart. I can't do anything to the heart. That's your job. May we leave here tonight, examine ourselves with a clean heart, knowing the holiness of God. God doesn't want sin in our life. And may we confess all sins. May there be people at the altar tonight getting right with you, confessing sins. God, put your hand, keep your hand on this work here. Keep producing the young men and the young ladies like I see. And the people who ride the buses and drive the buses. Keep this light going. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now with that, I'm going to tell you tonight, young girls, you better take notes on this, how a 15-year-old girl got a Cadillac out of me. Now you think about that. A 15-year-old girl got a Cadillac out of me. And I've got two Jaguars, and I can't drive both of them one time, and a town car. Won't you come after one of them? I'm going to tell you how this girl got, the 15-year-old girl got a Cadillac out of me. I landed in Florida. I was speaking in the Orlando area there. And a pastor picked me up in a borrowed car. And so I said, what happened to your car? He said, well, somebody stole one, and then we've had two tornadoes come through and done damage to my house, and I don't have the money to buy another one. I'm not going to go in debt. On Sunday morning, he picked me up in the borrowed car to go to church. Sunday after church, he borrowed another car, and we went out to lunch. When we went out to eat, we came back, and I went to the motel room. About 2 o'clock, I had gotten food poisoning where I ate. I began to vomit, diarrhea. Out late, and by 6 o'clock, I was sick as I could be, and the phone rang, your ride's here. I said, tell him I'll be right there. I threw some water in my face and washed it off and got me a towel in case I had to vomit in his car, I went to church and preached, and then that was Sunday night, and then Monday, all day Monday, he called, Pastor, no, I don't need anything to eat, I'm too sick, don't sick. Monday night, I went and spoke. And about 29 minutes, I was out of steam. I said, I've got to go. Driver, meet me back. I don't have any more strength left. I preached that night on how do you want to be remembered. And so, before God, Tuesday morning, he called me. You want to go out something to eat? I said, yeah. That double Big Mac looks pretty good right now at McDonald's. Let me go. And so, let's go to get a Big Mac and large fry. When I was up, went in there to eat, we sat down. I said, Pastor, I don't know how to tell you this. I pulled a title out of one of my Cadillacs. I had two. I landed here, and I said, you don't have a car. I called my secretary, the Holy Spirit. I don't know why I'm doing this. I've never done this before. But as sure as I'm here, God told me to give you this Cadillac. What? I said, yeah, here I had my secretary to type out to fax me the title, and here it is, and I told him how to pick it up. He said, I don't have the money to go get it. I said, yes, you do. I've got the money. I gave you the money to go get it. I gave you the money to put the insurance on and to get it. And he went, but I told him the car, and then he wanted me to quit eating right fast so he'd go home tell his wife and his children. I said, oh, wait a minute, let me finish my sandwich. He was all excited. And so, I know what I'm looking for. Here, just give me John. And so, we kept eating it. So I had two cars. Holy Spirit said, give him one. I read in the Bible, it says, hereby we perceive we love the God because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for his brethren. But whosoever hath this world's good and see if his brother have need and shut up his bowels of compassion on him, how dwell the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. Hereby we know we are truth and shall pastor it. So I'm constantly begging God, let me tell you how to get the blessing of God on you. You might not be able to have the bank account I have and can help the people I got, just like I told my pastoral dad, so that guy needs three or four suits and that. And I said, don't let me know how to get it. Take a little offering in the Wednesday night. And I said, I want you to have a top coat. He's leading the singing. He loves the young children. And I said, I want to buy him for him. I'm constantly looking for someone, and I'll help anyone in here. If you need groceries and you don't have them, you tell your pastor not, I don't know who you are. He's going to tell him, I'll buy you groceries. I want to steal your blessings. If you don't want the rewards that comes from helping the poor, I fed 28,000 people of them last year in Mexico. I'll take that. I want to help everybody I can. So this preacher here, he and I here, we were eating. And so I handed him the title to the car. And he went home. And so, and said, how did the lunch go? And he was laughing. He said, you'll never believe it. He had three daughters and a son, as I call. He said, Dr. Anderson gave me a Cadillac. Here's a title. They said, you're lying. No, here's the title to it. He gave me money to go get it from Florida to Michigan. Here it is. And they all began to rejoice and jump up and down, except one girl, the 15-year-old girl. And see, I didn't know why I gave the car. And a 15-year-old girl went to the corner of the bedroom and began to cry. And they said, honey, what's wrong? On Wednesday, when I spoke there the next night, he told this much story. Then she came to the platform, and she shared what I'm going to read. And I said, would you type this out? She said, on Monday, January the 10th, Dr. Anderson preached a message on the subject, how do we want to be remembered? During the sermon, he mentioned that when we live our lives, we need to do it in such a way we should be able to remind God that we love him and serve him. Dr. Anderson even mentioned that we pray, we can remind God we need our prayers answered because we are serving him. You know, if you're in here tithing, you need a need from God. You have right to read Malachi chapter 3 to him and say, God, I'm tithing. I need this. I like to teach you, but don't have the time. It's fleeting. Give me a gun. Give me your 38, Pastor. I'll shoot my watch in that clock book. And so she said, I like to teach you. You know how Hannah got a baby out of God? Read Samuel chapter 1 tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 1. She didn't have any children, and that by the time her Elkanah had two wives. And she had children which, you won't love my husband. You don't love your husband. Said, you're not producing any children. She went to God and began to pray. Went up to the temple, and Eli said, you're drunk. No, I'm not. I'm praying for a child. I told God, here's what she said. God, if you give me a child, I'll give him back to you when I wean him. You can have him. And God answered her prayer. Let me tell you something. When you pray, you ask God for something. What would happen to God say, what do I get out of this? So how you get something, God? You write and tell me, if you do this for me, this is what I'm going to do for you. That's what Hannah did. Then Hannah gave Samuel. Then God gave her five more babies. Read in chapter 2. How you get something from God? Now this teenage girl here, then she went on to begin to write. Dr. Anderson said, we can pray and let God know if he will bless it, we'll use it for his glory. This was said while he was talking about how he got a contract. I just told you I got that contract. Like God know that he would do better with the money from the job than the other man who wanted the contract. My family had their car stolen a few months ago. We could not insure it for theft because the premium was too expensive. With two hurricanes that hit our house this year, we could not afford to buy a car to replace the stolen one. We drove around the car that cost $300 and would not go in the park. One day, my mama, and I'll paraphrase this, my mama got out of the car and slammed the car door, and it got her skirt in the car, and the car started rolling and dragging my mama. And here's what she went to God. And she said, when I heard Dr. Anderson say that we could remind God if he blessed us, we use it for him, that he would bless us because we have a faithful, and I decided to pray for a better car. On Tuesday, January the 11th, my dad had lunch with Dr. Anderson. When he got back to church, he was smiling. When he asked him what had happened, he said, God had blessed our family. Everyone was all excited, wanted to know what had gone on during the lunch. And Dr. Anderson told my dad the Holy Spirit laid something on his heart. And Dr. Anderson said he had not thought it before arriving in town, but he knew the Holy Spirit had directed him to do something. He didn't know why. But after saying this, Dr. Anderson handed my dad a title to a Cadillac. This was not just a Cadillac. It was Dr. Anderson's personal Cadillac. As my dad told the story, and they shouted and clapped and rejoiced out loud, I went to the corner and cried. I just not could believe that God answered my prayer in less than 24 hours. This girl reminded God, let me tell you what she prayed. God, I'm a soul winner. My dad is a soul winner. My mom is a soul winner. My sister is a soul winner. We all go soul winner. I help on the bus routes. I dress right. My dresses is down to the knee. No low-cut blouses. She had a clean heart, and she had a clean hand, and God did his part. She got a Cadillac. That's why I gave that Cadillac away. There's a teenage girl prayed down a Cadillac for her mama. Now, young ladies, God loves you as much as he loves Bethany. Amen. Has she got the Cadillac? Because she's serving. She's serving God. She had a clean heart and clean hands. And so she said this. And so she delighted. Let me get over here just a minute. And said, why did they get it? Why do you think the reason she got it? She had a spiritual desire for something for her mama. She was willing to live a godly life, a separated life. And said, Exodus 20:12, honor thy father and thy mother, and thy days may be long upon the Lord, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Proverbs 1:8. Proverbs 6:20. My son, hear the instructions of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Matthew 15:4. For God commanded them, saying, honor the father and mother. And he that curse the father and mother, let him die the death. You know, in the Old Testament, a child could not be rebellious, would not listen to mom and dad. They took him outside the gate and stoned him to death. That's barbaric, isn't it? According to these silly professors. And that is capital punishment. Once I was a tadpole in the beginning, then I became a frog with my tail tucked in. Then I became a monkey up a coconut tree, and then I became a professor with a PhD. And so, young men and young ladies, let me tell you something about your mothers. They say a baby has to be changed about 8 times a day. That means in 1 year, 300 days a year, that's 2,400 times they've changed your diaper. You know what? If they fed you 3 times a day, 365 days, that just take 300 days. That's 900 meals. That means if you're 10 years old, they've fed you 9,000 times. And if you're 15 years old, you'd have to take a 9 and be 13,500 times. How many times have they washed your clothes and made your bed? And you won't honor them, you won't obey them, you talk back to your mom and daddy, you ought to have a whip made to you. Young men, why don't you make your dad happy when you're 14-year-old, raise more corn than all the other kids in the neighborhood? There's nothing wrong with wanting to become number one. I'm asking God to do something so big through my life when he does it. Even though I'm an old man, I'm expecting God to do something. He'll get all the credit. Say, God have to do that. Take an uneducated coal miner from Kentucky and make him the richest man of a town of 70,000 people in the morning. God did it. I try to keep a clean hands and a clean heart. How's your heart and your hands? Clean hands and a clean heart. Love not the world. I already quoted that. Colossians. Set your affections on things above, not on things in the earth. I'm here to tell you, if happiness came from money, I got it on my Bible right here. Money can give you everything but happiness and take you anywhere but heaven. How many lives have been destroyed because of the evil rule of thinking that money can supply security and happiness? You might think, I could be happy if I had $1 million. If this happiness is $1 million, why am I not sitting on Waikiki Beach right now under a palm tree and having the hula girls bring me a fresh pineapple? Huh? I'm here, I'm happier now than any man in Hawaii. I challenge you to find anyone. Why? For I know my hands is clean, and I work on it all the time, every day. Confessing my sin. Clean hands And I said this, being poor is a problem, but being rich is not the answer. I used to be poor, but I got a job. That's the first thing. And so, yes, she wore dresses down to her knees. No seafood blouses. No low-cut necessaries. Yes, she had queen's hands. She had a queen heart, and then God did his part. How's your heart? That's the introduction. How's your heart? How's your hands? If you want God to use you, that'd be clean. Clean hands, clean heart. Do you want to be used of God? I know you do. I watched your girls and your boys sing tonight. I'm so impressed. I'll brag all over the nation about you all. You've made me so happy to realize that the young people and the opportunities you have. Let's pray. I have to pray because of time. I'm not finished. Our God in heaven, you've been such a good God to love us, be born in America, greatest country on earth, may turn the back on you. God, tonight I'm speaking to some great Christians. I'd like to see them be greater, young boys and girls. I feel led to say this. I want all teenagers, no one but the teenagers, I know everybody else sit still to keep your eyes shut, I want all the teenagers to stand. All the teenagers stand. Come on now. Come on now. I want you to examine your heart and your hand, just the teenagers. Is there anything, teenagers, in your life that you would keep God from giving your mama a car? Or something else she may need? When's the last time you wrote mama a letter and tell her you loved her? Or daddy? Daddy, I appreciate you paying the bills, working hard as you do work. Now it's time. With her head, just the teenagers looking at me now. Here's what I want you to do. Now, I've come here on purpose. I pay my own way. I want you to get something out of God like I've got. I've got a lot out of God. I want you to start getting, learn to teach you how to get things from God. I want you teenagers right now to love God. I want you to come here at this altar. I want you to pray right now for your dad and mother and thank them and thank God for the dad and mother. I want you to leave right now. Come. Right now is the time to do business. I came here to do business, God. Now, let's show dad and mom that you love them and you're going to pray for them. You examine your heart and life. You leave a seat. Come here and let mom and daddy see that you love them and you're going to pray for them. You don't keep them getting anything. That's it. That's it. Beth had a clean hands and a clean. David, why was David delivered? He had clean hands and a clean heart. Young people, pray for your mom and dad right now. Your dad's working tomorrow and your mom's putting clothes in your back and feeding you. It's time now that you have clean. It's time you fell in love with mom and daddy again. Write them notes. There ought to be some notes putting on mama's pillow tomorrow after you leave for school and tell them how you love and you know, your boys. Clean hands and clean heart. Now I want all the adults to stand. Everyone in here stand. Don't you think, adults, it's time that we live a life that our children can see we love God. We have clean hands and clean hearts. Now, dads, mom, let me tell you something. Is there anything in your life that God would prevent God from giving you the money to continue to support your children? You love them? I want to let you prove it too. I want your dad and moms, your children and stuff up. I want you to come and pray. Come to the altar right now and get your heart clean tonight. Let's leave here with a family realizing we belong to God. We're God's children. Let's act like Christians. It's time we have an old-fashioned altar and start saying, we ought to pray together. Let one another know. We're going to work back this work. We're going to prove that there's a God in heaven that loves us. That's it. That's it. Not on your knees and ask God to make you the dad and mother you should. And you don't do anything to hinder these children, your children, from serving God. Let's get back together. Let's leave here tonight. Dads and moms rejoicing what God has done in your lives. Clean hands and clean heart. God, I want to examine even my own self. I want to be a better Christian. God, I'm not satisfied. Clean hands and clean heart. Holy Spirit of God, do a work. in their lives, showing them just what them and God can do. God and what either one of them can lick this whole city if they just get God on their side. Help them to continue to study and obey and win souls and work these bus routes. Clean hands and clean heart. How's your hands? How's your heart? I know one man that got saved, and his little boy said, always had did love daddy, but it seemed like I love him a lot more now. He plays with him since he's been saved. He don't cuss anymore and don't drink anymore. I love my daddy more every day now than I did before. Clean hands and a clean heart. And after you pray, and you feel that you've got with God, you confess, you got your heart clean, and you may go back to your seats. Clean hands and a clean heart, and God will do his part. Clean hands. Bethany had a clean hand. And I was serious. Why don't you do so much for Jesus that he'll tell me to give you one of these Jaguars I've got. I've got two. I'm serious. My pocketbook's open. That's it. God's been tonight.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.